that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak as they sow, they will.
And good morning, and it's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this 23rd day of June 2012. Pour you a cup of coffee and join us, won't you? We'll be back right after this song.
The one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning again, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard welcoming you here. I'm sitting here drinking coffee with Kyle. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And we got John on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Down there in smoky La Porte this morning, so do be keeping you. Your prayers active, just as that fire is active down there in La Porte. And we'll start off with a word of prayer. Kyle, would you lead us off this morning?
Sure. Well, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly, Lord, and we just ask you to watch over us, guide and protect us, to lead us all that are yours, Lord, in your ways, in your truths, in your spirit. We come to you this morning, we just ask a protection around everyone and all that are yours.
Yes.
Around all the households across this land, not just here in Fort Collins, but all those out there, not only in the United States, but all those across the seas, throughout the world, the scattered sheep, the dispersed among the Gentiles. We ask you to protect them and be with them and keep them, Lord, and I know you will. You promised your son when he was on the earth that you would keep them, a remnant. And we just come this morning, like I said, very humbled. For with the flick of a finger, Lord, you can do whatever you want. We know that. We just ask for your protection again. And we ask for your Holy Spirit guidance this morning. Let us have a good fellowship, good coffee with the Wranglers. Let us have a good phone call or two if we open up the lines, Lord. We come to you in the blessed holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. And we do say welcome. Oh, it's a beautiful day here in Laramie. Blue skies, that Wyoming baby blue sky. I don't know how else to describe it. That's about That's about what how it fits.
They say Montana is big sky country, but this is pretty big sky country here, too.
Pretty big here. Yeah. And in that Wyoming, it's just a baby blue sky, but we've still got that haze from the High Park fire that's burning down. John texted me about a half hour before we went on, told about how bad it was down there. And John, looking at the fire report on the report here, it says it moved across at, let's see, at Glacier View and Starview Drive and burned another 4 to 10 structures. Mm-hmm. And so it's up where that Hewlett fire was last month.
Yeah, but it jumped the... Right. The Poudre Canyon and the river.
Yeah, and that's where it did it at. And that's...
They're saying there's fireballs like hundreds of feet in the air, hundreds of feet round, just jumping over the highway.
Yeah, we could see last night, about 11 o'clock, we had turned all the lights off, and, the stars were beautiful out last night. We could go out and see satellites, you know, just moving across the sky, just a little white light moving, and you could see the glow from that fire here, and we're a good 60 miles away across mountain ranges. And
yep, you could see it here in town too, all the way from.
Yeah. So it looks like it was just like in the Stove Prairie area, maybe just past Stove Prairie. They have a sheep mountain down there as well, I guess. And it looks like it jumped over into the, I guess, into some of that area that's from. Around that area that burned from the Hewlett last year, so yeah. It's a mess.
It's heading up into hundreds of homes, though.
Yeah, where it's headed, looking at the map. Oh, look, if you look.
Glacier View has at least 200 homes, and then Red Feather Lakes is probably another couple hundred.
Yeah, and they've, looking at the map, if you look on the InsaWeb, and you can see that it's just heading right into, I don't want to say heavily populated, but for the mountains up there, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we encourage all of you out there, please keep this in your prayers. Kyle said this morning, you know, God's going to make it do what God wants it to do. But I've certainly seen pictures of fires in the past where one home in a neighborhood would not burn, and everything around it would look. You know, just like the moon. I've certainly seen those. We've heard of those. We've had people give testimony of tornadoes and hurricanes coming through and wiping everything out in their neighborhoods and their houses there.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody that knows a firefighter, and they said the other day they were up there assessing the damage, and there's a house that they're building, just a brand new house, and it's all OSB, you know, oriented strand board, which is totally... flammable, you know, no siding, no roof, no nothing, and that house is untouched. But right next to it, there's a house that has a metal roof, maybe even concrete siding, who knows, but nothing but a foundation. So, yeah.
Well, it seems to me that...
Know who.
That's right. It seems to me that there were three Hebrew boys a long time ago that had to walk through the fiery furnace.
Yep.
And when they walked through it, Jesus Christ himself walked through it with them.
Yep.
And, you know, many people say, oh, that's Old Testament. Oh, well, that was then, this is now. Well, let me tell you something. He is the same today as he was then. And
that was a literal fire. You know, people get hung up on the fire in the New Testament, you know, they're just positive. That's not literal fire. Well, how can you be so positive? Because there was fires.
Because that was sure literal. Because those that threw them in got burned up.
Absolutely.
That's how literal that fire was.
And they came out and what? Their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. Or I mean, they were just.
Yeah.
It was like they weren't even in the area.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Jason's working on an article, I think, for this newsletter based on the biblical truths about the fire. So
well, good. That'll sure
look fit forward right to
in.
That.
Yeah,
that will sure fit right in.
And you know, how can you talk about a subject like this, you know, without talking about repentance? You know, it's like every time, like a, you know, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago about, you know, we've all almost been in car wrecks that would probably take our lives. You know, and how can you not think just for a second, Lord, forgive me for something, you know, because, you know, my life almost ended right then. And what do you think of? You think of, man, I need to repent. I need to get closer to God. I need to, you know, those are the things that should pop up in your mind. And I'm sure they are to many people who fear losing their house, you know, and repentance is such a huge part. I mean, when the man who came to prepare the way for Christ came to this earth, he came with the word of repentance. And get a clue, people, that's the beginning. I remember Steve bringing out in a scriptural insight, you know, a month or so ago, you know, we kind of forget about repentance, you know. Baptism is for the remission of sins, you know, and we don't say repent and be baptized for the remission of sins because, you know, it's just...
Well, with us, it's understood.
It is understood, and it's quicker, and you just get it out there or whatever. But it's such a huge part of a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's...
Yep.
Yep. Anyway.
It's interesting when talking about that. I was just kind of scanning through the Bible yesterday, and... came up with Acts 22:16, and I texted this out to five of my friends.
I didn't get one.
And
I didn't get it.
Well, you guys already followed the, already heeded it,
oh,
but
okay.
It says,
oh.
Now why do you
his
delay?
Other friends.
Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.
Yeah.
And see,
that's a great scripture.
And they respond?
And you know the great thing about that?
Nope, not yet.
The great thing about that is that, you know who that was addressed to? That was Saul of Tarsus, right?
Yeah.
That was Saul who was killing Christians, who had the Damascus Road experience, who, you know, had the light come down and blinded him and went to, who was it, Ananias. And, I mean, that was Saul. That was Paul.
Yeah. Called Jason, Richard.
Okay.
He had some trouble last night. They had a power spike, I guess, the day before or something, and... it looks like it took out the main breaker on the panel, and that panel's an old panel. Wasn't able to find another breaker, so he's without power right now.
We're dialing on the air. But anyway, Acts 22:16, as Richard says, that was, you know, of course, Paul goes on to say in a different scripture later that, you know, what he was doing, he did it out of ignorance. There are many... You know, that was from Judea, that were called Jews, just like Saul was, who didn't do it out of ignorance. They did it because they knew the prophecies. They knew the end from the beginning better than your average Joe that was walking the street, you know. But Saul, you know, who was standing there at the, you know, at least standing there. I don't know if he picked up any stones, but at the, what would you call, stoning of Stephen there in Acts, I don't know, it's 17 or 7. I think it's chapter 7. Anyway, he's standing there, and they say they laid the garments, you know. So, you know, when you go to, you know, pick up a stone and throw, and you want to be able to throw it hard, you know, you take off your coat, you know, so you can really rip that stone. Well, that's what those people were doing at Stephen. And Stephen was standing there giving a testimony of... I think he goes all the way back to Abraham, and he brings it up through Moses, through Egypt. And I mean, he's standing there. Well, I mean, I picture it in my mind as they're throwing stones at him. At least they're getting ready to, because it's kind of a whole judge setting and jury setting. You know, they're basically, you know, condemning him for blaspheming or whatever they wanted to call it. You know, and he's standing there giving a testimony of how everything leads up to Jesus Christ. You know, and in fact, I think that's what communion talk's probably going to be about a little bit tomorrow, is how a man like Stephen was willing to shed his blood for Christ, like Christ shed his blood for him, you know, and it's just amazing that Saul of Tarsus was probably heading it, you know, but he did it out of ignorance, you know, where many of those Jewish Pharisees and those big-time leaders back then, they knew exactly what they were doing. Yeah. Good, it's a good scripture, that scripture you mailed out or sent out according to the text, you know, because most people don't hear that, you know, I mean, and most people don't read their Bibles, so they're not going to find it themselves.
Right. Well, we say good morning to Jason down there just off the edge of the fire. Good morning, Jason.
Morning.
Hope you got some coffee poured. John said you had to come up there and get coffee this morning. Man,
yep.
That's a tough life.
No, it ain't tough.
Yeah.
I guess you didn't go across.
It's tough when nobody calls you. That's what's tough. You don't know what anybody's talking about because... Oh.
Well,
we were giving you a few minutes to get settled.
Yeah, that's what John said. Just give you a few minutes.
Because you just left my driveway when I got called, so I figured I told him to wait a few minutes. So sorry about that. It's probably my fault.
Oh, no. We sure
are. Well, we're glad to have you, brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We wouldn't. Coffee's just not the same without Jason on there. So.
No.
Well, what are you hearing? You know, Jason, Jason kind of seems to usually be in the know there in LaPorte with things going on. And Jason, we did talk about that fire a little bit this morning, looking on the Insta web that I guess it's jumped across up at, burned some houses up at Glacier View and Starview Drive and over where
Glacier View, they lost, 21 houses yesterday.
Wow.
And it was, that's where I went up and helped evacuate houses last week in the evenings a little bit. And, we were able to get some of the houses their stuff out and got a lot of animals hauled out of that area, so that was a good thing because there was people that were on a pre-evacuation, and but you could stand up there and tell that the fire was headed directly towards them, and I told them I said you might want to think about getting your animals out of there, and they did, and they're grateful for it now.
Amen.
But still a lot of loss up there, and it was, boy, it's devastation all over the place.
Yeah, 100-degree weather and zero humidity just don't help.
Well, that makes it, that makes the climate right for fire. It sure does. And, you know, I can't help but think that, you know, what makes, Kyle mentioned earlier that, you know, that it is a literal fire that's coming to burn up. And Jason, John gave us a little teaser that you got a newsletter article regarding that fire coming out, so we're looking forward to that, and I'm sure the people out there are as well. But, you know, just John, like you said, you know, when it's 90 to 100 degrees, and it's only you know, 5 to 8, 10% or 0% humidity, that makes a climate just right for.
Yes. Hey, yeah. Is the flatbed down here? Flatbed's at Gooseneck?
No, flatbed's here at the ranch.
Okay. Somebody's calling. They're getting evacuated. They want to know if they can use it. So hang on a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Anyway, let's see. Let me bring him down because it gets a little staticky. Sorry about that, folks. That's what you call live radio. You know, there's not a bank of people sitting here taking care of things. It's just us. But I can't help but think that just as the climate is right, and it's right here in Wyoming too, we're dry, we're going into a drought, you know, no moisture, it's tough right here. The climate is right for this place to burn. But you know, the spiritual climate of our land is right to burn.
It is.
It is just as right as it can be. You know, the people, their hearts have grown cold, and they revel in their sin. And so.
Well, you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and everybody says, "Well, things have got to get a lot worse before they get better." But you look around, and things are pretty bad.
Things are pretty
and
bad.
How much worse can they get, or do they have to get?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you know the deception comes into play. I think that we could be at the times where Sodom and Gomorrah were at, or beyond what they were at.
I agree.
You know, when you get people, you know, there's this guy, and me and Kyle were talking about it earlier this week, and there was a guy down in Texas who caught somebody molesting his 5-year-old daughter and killed the SOB.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And, you know, I tip my hat to him and pray that he don't get charged with anything.
And the last
and
that I've seen.
There's people that come out and they want to know why he has not been charged with anything. Now, for people to even ask that question, for people to ask.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Then there is something seriously wrong with them for even asking the question, why has he not been charged with anything?
That's a fact.
their love.
Well, because they're afraid that it's going to happen to them. They're all in the same brood of vipers.
Yeah. Yeah, don't squish that cockroach.
Yeah,
they're predators, yeah. You know. They got to look out for themselves and for their friends.
But that shows you the mentality of a society.
It does.
Oh, I know.
It does.
Yeah, it's right.
And I think that that is what, you know, that's like looking out and seeing that the grass has turned brown and you hadn't had rain in a month and you got lightning coming in over the ridge. You know, it's fixing to burn. It's as simple as that. Like, and Jason, I couldn't help but think that when you said, you know, you're helping those people evacuate last week and you could tell the fire was coming their way. Now, it might be a week out. But you can't wait till it's there to start getting your horses and your chickens and your goats and whatever you have out. And then you want to get your stuff out of your house. You have to have taken care of things beforehand. And isn't it that same way with, you know, with the judgment that's coming and the fire of God that's coming? You have to take care of it ahead of time. You really do. Because there's going to come a time, you know, we're told you have to work while it's daytime. While it's still day, because there's coming a time you're not going to be able to work anymore. You have to repent while you can, while that blood will still cover and wash you, because there's going to come a time when it's going to be too late.
Yep.
And it was too late for those 21 houses that went up yesterday in the physical. Don't let it be too late for you out there, you know, when the fire of God comes. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us at all. And you just can, you know, you have to be ready. You have to be
ready. Well, how far are we getting from Noah's time, you know, when their thoughts were evil continuously? Defending a pedophile, you know?
I think we've come full circle back to Noah, the time of Noah.
Yeah.
Well, like Jason brought up.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yep. And I was thinking, Jason, when you bring up Sodom and Gomorrah, you see, our father Abraham, he didn't realize how bad Sodom and Gomorrah was because the first thing he said was, "Well, will you save it if there's 50 righteous?" Well, you know, and then he kept dwindling it down to where he said, "Will you save it if there's 10 righteous?" And guess what? There wasn't even 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. And so God didn't spare it, you know. But that lets you know. And Lot was there. Lot was in the cities. You know, or, you know, probably had friends, just like we have friends, you know. I mean, I don't have too many over here because I've only been here a few years, but, you know, he probably had acquaintances that he knew his whole life.
Sure.
And he, deep down, probably thought, he's a good man, really. He's a good man, you know. But when the rubber hit the road, he wasn't a good man.
Well, he might have been a good man, but being a good man wasn't enough.
Right.
Wasn't enough, you know.
One of the things Dad always said is if you can count your friends on one hand, you know, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember heading out on Highway 80 one time with the pastor, and he's like, you know, he always just threw questions at you, just see where your mind was, you know. And he's like, do you think in generalities, that there's more good people than bad? And, you know, and I'm thinking, is this a trick question? You know, because I thought it was kind of obvious that, you always had to, you know, wonder, is he tricking me?
He made you think.
Yeah.
He made you think.
And so I probably sat there for 20 seconds, which seemed like a long time, and then finally I'm just like, no, I think they're more bad than good. And he just shook his head, me too. You know, I mean, but, you know, he always made you think, you know, I mean, and when it comes right down to it, you know, people want to, you know, we all want to believe that society has more better people than it does. But when the rubber hits the road, you have people like Jason's talking about who will come against those who come against evil. You know, and
but you wonder, though, is are they all that bad? See, I kind of think that there's the 20-25% that are evil, you know, and then there's those that are deceived, but they've been deceived by the preachers and the false prophets. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I agree with you, John, that, you know, let's say there's 25% that are the evil, and then there's, you know, 50-80% of those that have been deceived that just don't know any better. But I can't help but think of the scripture that says, though Israel be as the stars of the sky, and there was a bunch of stars out last night, and the sands of the sea, and there's a bunch of sand on the sea, only a remnant will be saved. And I think what our enemies know is that they know that if they can get us to sin, like in the days of old, they dressed their women up and put them out in front of us. you know, and they make greed and idolatry look desirable, and they cause us to covet, and they cause that however it might only be 2% that are truly wicked, but they cause the majority of us to sin and to become the twofold more sons of hell.
Yeah.
And they keep us from, they keep our, his people from the true biblical plan of salvation. Had a young man in Brant that was in Branson, and you guys know who I'm talking about. You know, he's living down south now and engaged to be married and all that good stuff. And he sent a little ad. I think I forwarded it to you, John. Might have, but about putting running a little ad in the paper that said, "Believe on Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Accept him into your heart," something like that. You know, and that's what it starts out with. And then underneath it says, the problem with that, Christians, is that it's nowhere in the Bible. This is the true biblical plan of salvation. And he's got a little ad, you know, in the newspaper. And it's believe and repent and be baptized. And, you know, to me, it's encouraging to see that. But I think it ties right in with what you're saying, John. It is. There's so many out there that are deceived. But what did we learn from our pastor about being deceived? You know, it's a two-party sin, and it's a sin. It's a sin to be deceived.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a more, I'm going to have to disagree, because I think that there's more of the wicked, and there's more of the wicked seed than there is, because the Scripture says that in the end times, the natural man will be scarcer than gold. And I think that we're coming into the times where the good, the Anglo-Saxon people are fewer than there is of aliens among us. And you can go down and look. I mean, a remnant of a remnant is one that's just going to be saved. And we are all already a remnant as a race of people, because you look at those who haven't been polluted in some form or another, and, you know, there ain't a whole lot of them.
No.
You know,
yeah.
If you get down to 144,000, that's a remnant of a remnant.
It is.
Yep.
It is. Yeah, I'd sure like to think that when you said that, Kyle, about, you know, that there's more good than bad, and don't we get that from the world? There's good, you know, people are basically good. No, the Bible says the heart of man is evil continually. And so the Bible says people are basically bad. They're born into sin. I remember that when my last little girl was born. And the midwife, there she is, right there. She opens her eyes and looks at me. The midwife says, oh, she's perfect, except for one thing. And it gets your attention. And the midwife says, she's born into sin.
Yeah.
And people, we have to realize that. We are born into a carnal, fleshy, flesh-lusty, filthy nature. It's because of the fall of Adam. That's how it is. And so people are basically bad. And the only way to get good, the only way to get right, is to realize that and to do like Kyle said, to follow that biblical plan of salvation. Believe, yes, but repent and be baptized.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is too, is you got to make distinction. Is we know that there's, you know, there's different forms of people. You know, we got snakes and we got twofold sons of hell. And
yes.
You know, you've got a twofold son of hell is one of our people that's turned over to the wicked way, that's been deceived, is locked into his deception and continues to deceive on it. And, you know, there's those that are made for destruction, and you know, you look at that, there's people that can repent, but they refuse to.
Yes.
You know, and that's what locks them in. And there's going to be just as many of those people destroyed on that great and terrible day of the Lord than there is of anybody else. You know, if there's time for them to repent, but, you know, are they going to do it?
Yep. And then you got those that God's not even going to, they're so bad that God's not even going to allow them to repent.
You know? Yep, exactly.
Amen.
Well, on a positive note, our good buddies at Freedom From Religion Foundation are suing Pennsylvania because they declared 2012 the year of the Bible and exhorted they're exhorting citizens and government officials to study and apply the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Huh, where have we heard that before?
Yeah, maybe they should.
Wow.
Maybe they should.
Public law 97-280?
Yeah, maybe they should sue the U.S. government for doing that, because they declared the very same thing in 1983.
Yeah. Well, they are. They're suing the U.S. government for giving religious exemptions for the birth control mandate. It's just comical.
Lord Jesus.
But the good news is they're losing these battles. People are finally starting to say no.
Well, and that's one organization that people just should continue to lift up in prayer. You know, they can lift us up and bring us before court. Well, we have the power to bring them before a higher court.
Yeah.
That's what people need to realize.
And the good news is, John, whether they win or lose these little battles, they're going to lose big time someday.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the good news, is they're going to be destroyed like those people Jason was talking about. They are made for destruction.
Amen.
And it's going to be a glorious thing.
Amen. Hey, along these lines, got a song for you guys. It's a classic. I think you'll enjoy it. If you'll hold on, we'll be back. Just a two-minute song. We'll be back right after this.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to those that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day. Sinner shall hear his doom depart. I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment?
How about that? And we ask you out there, are you ready? I hope so, because it comes a little sooner for some than it does for others. And we just never know what day it's coming for us. But it's coming. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Amen.
I love that scripture. You mean the holy neighbors don't really know his name? Is that what you're saying?
No, they don't know his name. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, because his name is Jesus Christ, That is his name. That was his name in Genesis 1-1, and that's his name at the end of Revelation, and that will be his name forever and ever. And ever and ever.
Amen.
Want to open up the phone lines? Or?
Yeah, we've still got some static on these lines. I don't know if they're going to... if they're going to get through or not. Jason got me a new board in here. I'm going to try to get that installed on Monday. I just didn't get a chance the last couple days. Things are starting to get a little busy here at the ranch. The cows decided they liked it better on the river than the middle pasture, so they decided to move themselves to the river. So Kyle and I spent a couple hours fixing fence yesterday, and we have all but dried up completely here. The corrals another week they will be dry, so when it comes time to sorting and branding, we'll be able to do that right here, praise the Lord. And so
the answer to that question is sure.
Sure.
You might get a little fuzzy.
Yeah, it might get a little static, but we can sure do that. And if you want to call in, 307-745-5913, and we'd be glad to do our best to get you on the air.
You know, there's scripture in Psalms that says, the tongue of the righteous speaks of judgment, you know. And every pulpit across the land, well, I can't say every pulpit, because obviously our pulpit still puts it out, you know, that judgment is coming, like that song. You know, there's the pastor singing along about the great day coming. That is, in itself, righteousness. When you speak that, because you're warning the people, and that's the right thing to do, you know.
And that's what we did in the last prayer.
Yes,
absolutely. And
nice prayer.
It was. And anyway, what all I was saying is that scripture that Richard read there in Revelations, you know, and there John is, you know, he's inspired and he's writing about a judgment coming, and it's gonna be a mess for some. I mean, a mess, a total mess. You know, like even in the song we just played, it's also a sad day coming, you know, for some. You know, I mean, it's just something that everybody should be... I mean, you think of these kooks that stand out on the street corners, you know, holding up signs or...
The end is near.
The end is near or whatever. But really, we all should be saying, the end is near, you know, buddy, you need to repent, you know. And, you know, the world has made that a kooky thing to do. You know, there's the nut over there that's telling everybody they're going to burn in hell or whatever's going on. But the fact of the matter is, that's the way we should be, you know.
It is.
We don't have to, you know, be disgusting and gross like some of the, you know, as they portray it, you know. We could be just a normal person and be out, you know, and run into somebody that we haven't seen for a while or whatever and says, you know, do you know the Lord?
Yes, yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah. Are you ready?
Let's see if we can get this caller on. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning. This is Kevin in Ohio. I want to say good morning to you gentlemen. God bless. God keep you. I wanted to ask a question. I'll ask it in just a second, but you remind me when you talk about the good and the bad in people, my dad always told me one thing. People just ain't no damn good. They're rotten. No matter what we encounter. But I want to inquire about DC Street Sorcery 2. Is there any progress going there?
Jason can answer that.
What's that?
DC Street Sorcery 2.
Yeah, actually, I got a Skyler. He's been working on it, and he'll be here. I'm going to be meeting with him tonight. And we got some details to go over.
Oh, we're not connected.
And he's been working on it, and you know we're trying to get it done. We're real close. It just takes a lot of tweaking on the finals before
sure.
We start making DVDs and want to call it a final. So we're trying to make sure that we got all our information correct.
Oh, listen, I'll see.
Just trying to go over everything and double check it, and that just. That takes a lot because we got, you know, it's over 2.5 hours worth of information on there.
Wow.
And the information is so in depth that it, you know, everything is just, we want to make sure that everything's just right on cue so that, you know, we don't confuse anybody with any of the information on there. And I really think that this one is going to be just, oh, 100 times better than the last one. And easier for people to understand with a lot more detailed information.
Wow. Well, Kevin, hope that answers your question. And, Kevin, you speak for a lot of people out there because we get calls and emails and letters asking about it. And, Jason, it's sure good to know that that's coming about. I know there's been a lot of effort and hard work and time and money poured into that project, that much-needed information that really needs to get out to the people. And so it's moved back up, I'd say. It sounds like it's coming back up on the front burner. It's getting real close.
There's a lot of good things coming up.
Yes.
So stay tuned. Lord willing, we're going to finish up a lot of projects that Dad had started. So.
And that's one of them. So if you're listening, the DC Street Sorcery 2, it is fast approaching. As soon as we get it, rest assured we'll be advertising it in the newsletter. We'll be talking about it on the live radio broadcasts that come out at 7 p.m. Mountain on Scriptures for America to the internet and to the shortwave, and we'll sure be letting. And I bet we probably got 50 orders for it over in the office already. People that have pre-ordered it and said, "Hey, when you get it done, send it to me." So we'll sure let you know about it as soon as it becomes available. We sure will.
Yeah, keep God Save America in your prayers, too. We got some plans for that to try to promote it a little bit more. So I watched that again the other day, and that's a powerful video.
It is.
Powerful song. Jason's working on getting that cleaned up and some changes made. And so it's exciting times.
It is. It is.
Don't have any other callers?
Nope, that's it there. So you just got to kind of carry it here. Time to pour a little. Kyle just poured a little coffee. I brought a thermos over today, and you know that was something that, you know, what a privilege it was to be able to have coffee here with the Wranglers and with the pastor. Show up over here a little bit before 7 in the morning, and he'd have a pot of his coffee out here, and sometimes that coffee was. What you'd call cowboy coffee.
It would grow hair on, well, that's a lie because I never grew hair on my chest, but
there
was a coffee that would grow hair on your chest. That was the coffee.
It was coffee. Absolutely. It wasn't like that weak tea that Dad used to say you could read a newspaper through. No, it was coffee. And,
yeah, he used to tell me that it's one of some of that coffee that you stick your spoon in there and then you'd go, "What spoon?"
Yeah. Yeah. My dad used to tell a story about his father-in-law would, you know, and of course this is 60, 70 years ago, that they'd get buy those percolators, you know, because you didn't have the Mr. Coffees. So everybody had a percolator, and he'd buy it and take all the insides out and throw it out, because it was a stovetop, didn't plug in, but he'd throw all that out to make coffee. You'd put a bunch of coffee in it, fill it up with water, and put it on the stove.
You could eat that coffee, huh?
You just added water to it all day long and just let it cook. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines.
Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Calvin here.
Good morning, Calvin.
Good morning, Cal.
Good morning, John. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Abundantly blessed, brother. How about you?
Very well. Good. I was thinking of the pastor's reference over the years to Ask Gideon. And I said, wow. You know, there's a real good lesson in there about doing what God says, obedience in His Word, and how wonderful God was to Gideon after sorting all those people out, obeying the Word of God. He got this down to 300 men. He's going to go up about 185,000. And then God says, look, I know you're a little bit afraid, so go on down tonight with your friend and listen to what they're saying down there. So God gave him a glimpse that it wasn't going to be his battle. All he had to do was stand up there with the pot and the horns along the hillsides and on the command break them so that it looked like the whole gathering was around there, and those guys killed each other.
Amen.
What an amazing God we serve.
Yeah. Amen.
And I remember a testimony. What brought that up was a testimony that I think Pastor was trying to always allude to it. You know how to say that word is put your tongue against the roof of your mouth and say no.
Amen.
I'm not going to obey you. This is God we're going to obey, not man.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what the consequences.
That had gotten involved as by accident because she had such a bad life and early disappointments in life, and she got involved with a gal that was supposedly giving her love and attention, and you know how that goes. Got into a situation with lesbianism, and fortunately for her, the young lady finally heard the word of God and was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And she says, you know, I love that woman, but God says I can't do that because it's sin, and therefore I have to give it up. And what a great testimony when you think of that. You may not want to, folks, and I'm talking to fellas and gals that are listening out there on radio, but just do what God says, and it'll be much, much better with you. And your life will be a lot brighter, and your
Amen.
End will be your end will be eternal praise and worship with our Master. And I don't know how else to put it, but just obey. It may be hard, and it may be tough, and it may be lonely, but just obey, because we're all going to walk that lonesome valley all by ourselves.
Yep.
And that's
a great song,
one.
Too.
That is.
It is a great song. At least from a human standpoint, it's not easy, but just do it.
Yep.
Anyway,
I'll tell you, Cal, I've been using that Bible you gave me, and it's quite a resource. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I was looking at it, too, and I said, I should have put a caveat on there. You know, these guys as translators sometimes take liberties, and they'll say something that's really a spiritual, but it can also be an actual.
Right.
When referring to Israel, they go over there in the corner and say, well, spiritual Israel. Well, I put a line through it, and I say both.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Cal, anyway. Thanks so much, brother. You have a great weekend.
I will. Thanks, Richard.
Okay, God
Goodbye,
bless.
Goodbye, boys.
Thank you.
Take care.
And we got one more phone line blinking, been there for a while. Thank you for holding, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Calvin is really remarkable. That was,
yes, he is.
Mentioning the translators. As you know, Pastor emphasized that the King James translators said in their foreword in the King James, use every translation that you can find. Just don't depend on ours. And I commend.
Yeah, my big family Bible, King James, says almost those exact words. Yep.
And you know, doesn't that to me that comes from a true God fearing heart?
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
if I'm explaining something to you from the Bible, don't trust me. And the pastor was that way. Don't just take my word for it. Read the scriptures. Study it out yourself.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a comment about evaluating how many good or how many bad people there are, the percentages and all that you were dwelling on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of examples. I know that in this country, back when I was a child, we were running at that time in the early 40s, or about 39 or 40, that we were running. Looking back, I know we were running on the fumes of the true Israel country. For instance, on the radio, old battery radio, as a child, I heard that they had arrested somebody for using interest, charging interest to somebody. And that was incredible, and it started a course, it got it into court, and I followed it as a child now. And so it turned out that due to the litigation and all, and the ruling in the courts, that usury, as it says in the Bible, was determined to be over 1%. If it's over 1% interest, it's usury. So they got it legal through the courts to charge 1%. interest, and that started it. That opened the gate right there,
mm.
because it was definitely against the law. And then one other example, when I was a child in Birmingham, Alabama, I remember, small child, 5 years old, something like that, I don't know, but I remember a bunch of huge group of men, and they had a guy that had been tarred and feathered, and had him tied to a rail, and they were marching him through town, and he had been caught in the act of sodomy, and that they marched him out of town, and they inflicted the Bible solution for that. Penalty is death, as you know. And they did it. I remember. And then one other example. I remember I was with my grandfather in Mississippi. And all around, you heard people saying, "Hocus pocus, kiss the Pope's tocus." I mean, that was generally bandied about. I remember that vividly. And so people realized that the Catholic Church was a fraud. And then I remember as a child, some of these preachers got on the air and they openly exposed the Jews, the people that called themselves Jews. That's the proper way to say that, that called themselves Jews. Because they are of the synagogue of Satan.
Amen.
We don't call ourselves Jews. We could call ourselves Judeans. So, as Pastor also pointed out, that when you see the word Jew in the Bible, it's been, no matter where it is, in Esther or anywhere else, it should be Judean. And then the Bible makes perfect sense.
Well, the pastor did a very good, you know, one of his very first sermons was the most confusing word in Scripture, Jew. And he goes through time after time, and you know, that's a foundational sermon, because it is a very confusing word, and it is something we have to do. Well, Jerry, we appreciate the call. Appreciate you sharing that those with us, and sharing that with the people.
Could I say I haven't deserted you? Like you have said on the air, people have deserted you. I'm just living off my savings, desperately looking for a job. So when I get work, you'll be hearing from my tithing department.
All right, Jerry. We'll appreciate that. I don't know that anybody here said anybody's deserted us.
No,
you know,
sir.
God has sure pruned the vine, but you know you have to do that for the vine to grow. It has to be pruned, and there's been a little bit of pruning. In the grand scheme of things, very, very minor. But sometimes you just got to get that one little, I think they call it in the horticulture world, a sucker. You got to get that one little sucker nipped off, and then the plant can grow. So, well, Jerry,
Richard,
thanks a lot.
On May 27th, you gave the scriptural insight, and that was incredible. I made a copy of that. That was worth copying and distributing.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, men, for being there, all of you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Have a great weekend, Jerry. And
thank you. We'll be praying for a job for you, too, Jerry.
Amen. Amen. We'll sure do that. You know, and it is interesting to hear, you know, the comments Jerry made that, yeah, in the old, you know, just a few generations ago, it was very well known that the Pope was a fake, that he was an antichrist. He denied Christ and he served himself or his father, the devil. It was well known that. And,
and it was well known about the Jews.
It was well known about the Jews.
I mean, that's why you got terms. Oh, he Jewed me down. I mean, you get terms like that because in society it was just common knowledge.
And that is Americana. That was part of the American culture, of the American society, a few generations ago. Absolutely.
Well, you never know where we'll go on this show, so I got joke for you guys. never mind. Go ahead.
Well, I guess it's a private joke.
Okay. Maybe we'll get it texted to us, you know.
If we I already sent it to you guys.
If we make that list of friends.
But hey, there's, yeah. Here's a story. Here's a story that gives Jason a little bit more credibility as far as being more evil than good. There's a school in New York, I guess, that banned God Bless the USA from a kindergarten graduation program. So some of the parents who were outraged with the principal who did it assembled the children and started singing it, and the adults were singing yelling burn in hell to these little kids singing God Bless America or God Bless the USA. That's a pretty good example.
And back to that, well, Jason wasn't on right at the top of the hour, but back to that original story where the man beat the other man to death, or if he was a man, to death for the...
He was a Mexican. He was he was a Mexican up from Mexico working,
right,
is what he was.
Yeah.
But no matter what he was a wicked person. Anyway, he beat him to death, and then people come against him, you know. And it just, you know, you think of the story, I think of the story of Moses when he came in and he seen an Egyptian guard or whatever he was, and he was like whipping or beating one of his kinsmen. And this was nothing like pedophile, I mean,
nothing like
to your child.
Somebody abusing your 5-year-old
but
daughter.
But when he seen that, it was upon Moses' heart to strike him and kill him, you know, and didn't murder him.
Right.
You know, he killed him, you know, because he was doing something that was worthy of death, you know. And these things like this that are worthy of death, you know, or even like the story John just brought up about the little children singing God Bless America, you know, these wicked ones is worthy of death. That's all I got to say.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody want to invite everybody to church?
Absolutely, because we're out of time. We thank you for joining us this morning for coffee, and we do invite you to church tomorrow, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Join us, won't you, for church at scriptureforamerica.org. Guys, have a great weekend.
You too, Jason. If you need another cup of coffee, come on over.
Sure.
All right. Thanks.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, they hide.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.